I did not. I want you to open your Bible this morning.
Hey, brother. Thank you. Thank you, brother.
I want you to, we're going to start at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 11. And I want to talk about this verse. I have this whole sermon to preach on this verse, but I just want to read it to you right now. Thank you, sir. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 11. Lord Jesus, we're just asking that you would open up the word today. You would open up our hearts. You'd help us to be open and receptive to you. Right now, we want to break agreement with our any thoughts that are going in our head that would be distracting or take us away. We want to give you our needs, our hurts, our pain, and say, Father, would you come and heal me? Would you come and do this work in me? I'm just going to believe you will, because you always accept an invitation. And right now, I just want to focus on your word. Now, God, I don't want to just speak. I want your words to be spoken. I want what you have to say. But I just ask that it would empower us, it would be quickened, made alive to us, and that we would not be the same from listening. We just say, thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 11 is what God's doing in me. And if you want to put a title on that verse, and we'll talk about it, I'm going to talk about it more another time. But just today, if you want to put a title on that, I call it The Fruits of True Repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 11. It says, for behold this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort. See, there's two different kinds of sorrow. If you went back to verse 10, it says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. There's many people that have sorrow, but it doesn't help them. It just, they die with it. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got caught. Oh, I'm sorry that you're mad at me. Oh, I'm sorry that I don't get the job. Oh, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for myself. That doesn't help anybody. All that kind of sorrow, that's worldly sorrow. But the kind of sorrow that God wants us to have is a sorrow in verse 11. He says, when you have a sorrow that's from God, what it does, it works a carefulness. What carefulness it wrought or worked in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all these things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. When somebody has godly sorrow, their heart is broken. Their heart broken over sin. Then it's going to affect your attitude. It's going to affect your outlook. It's going to affect your thinking. It's going to affect your choices. It's going to affect your life. I don't like it when I hear parents tell their kids, say I'm sorry to your brother that you just hit with a hammer. You know, tell him, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I hear him do that. I'm going, why would you tell the kid to do that? They don't mean it. So I've seen parents pinching their kid, making them say it. I'm sorry, you know, or the attitude, you know. Are they sorry? Why would we do that? Yeah, but what are they training them to do? To be manipulated? Well, I mean, seriously. What if we told the kid to say, I'm wrong. I hurt you. Will you forgive me? I understand why people do what they do, but see, when I got saved and I realized I didn't get saved till I was 20, and I looked at my life and I said, you know, everything I've known up till now hadn't worked. And now I just met Jesus, and I know He's the way and the truth, but I don't know how to live His life. Because before I met Jesus, kind of like this floor, I was in the kingdom of hell. It was all about me trying to take care of me. Because everybody was against me. Others were... I didn't know they were all against me until I started living. You know, started trying to have relationships. And if people would hurt me, lie to me, tell me one thing, do another, mean another. So I was in the kingdom of hell. I didn't like the kingdom of hell. And it had to get bad enough so that when I got exposed to Jesus, it's like, I don't want that anymore. I want Jesus' way. But I don't know how to live over here. I've never lived over here before. I've never thought over here before. I don't know how to live in the kingdom of heaven. I only know how to live in the kingdom of hell. Steve hurts me. Don't turn your back. You hurt me. Don't you dare turn your back. Because I will hurt you bad. I know how to live in the kingdom of hell. I know how to lie. I know how to cheat. I know how to lust. I know how to steal. I know how to live in the kingdom of hell. I know how to do that. But I didn't enjoy that. I didn't enjoy it being done to me, and I didn't enjoy the way it made me feel inside. Anybody else in agreement with what I'm saying, or you like the kingdom of hell? So I'm in the kingdom of hell, and I meet Jesus. You've got to be kidding. Are you kidding? You're real? All this time I was in the kingdom of hell, people kept taking me to church and telling me all this stuff about God, but there was no God there. Just all in their thinking, all in their words. There was no reality of His presence. And when I stepped and met Jesus, He became real to me. I'm challenging you here today. When did He become real to you? Some of you are in process. You know you're not on your way to heaven. You know you're not saved. Maybe some of you think you're on your way to heaven. God hadn't allowed me to ask too many questions of you yet. But He will. And when I do, you'll know you're not on your way to heaven. Some of you are in process. And you're not saved yet. And you're still operating in the kingdom of hell. But you want to be in the kingdom of heaven. Because you've come in contact with His presence. You've come in contact with the real life of Jesus. You've come in contact with the kingdom of heaven of forgiveness and kindness. And somebody loving you. Just loving you. Not because you did something. Not because you gave them something. Not because they could use you for a ride. But they just said, I love you.
I love you.
And you receive that and you're like, there's more. I didn't know because there's not that over here. Because this is always conditional love. The kingdom of hell is conditional love. Because it's not real love. So I meet Jesus, and I'm like, I don't know how to live life. I don't have a clue. I know how to take. I know how to connive. I know how to manipulate. I know how to be proud. I know how to be comparing myself. I know how to be self-righteous because I'll do better than somebody else. I make better grades than somebody. I can work harder than somebody. I can feel good about all these things, but inside I don't feel good. But it's a false feeling good. God, I know how to live over here, but I just met you, Jesus. I don't know how to live. Can I give you a hint, a clue? If you get this one little thing, I'm not playing, if you get this one little thing, it will just accelerate you to Jesus. If you will take what you think you know, are you listening? If you will take what you think you know, and you'll just lay it down and say, I'm going to start all over. I'm going to start all over with Jesus. And whatever this says, I'm just going to do it. This is my truth. Everything else is suspect. That means everything else could be wrong that I think I already know. I'm willing to lay everything down because this is true. Now, if this is not your truth, what is your truth that you base your life on? What is your truth? What are you basing your life on? Why are you living what you live? Why is it when the truth of the Word of God is presented to you, what are you believing in? What are you trusting in? Well, my parents say this. My family says that. I had a teacher. I had an uncle. I had a grandfather. I had a grandmother. I like John Wayne. What is your basis of truth? I did not know how to live except this way. I knew how to live as a sinner. I knew how to be selfish. I knew how to protect myself. I knew how to be mouthy and say words to hurt you and keep you in your place because I wasn't big enough to physically keep you in your place. I knew how to live in that kingdom. But when I met Jesus, I didn't know how to live in His kingdom. And when I met Jesus, just tell me, when you met Jesus, were you not loved? Like you'd experienced it before? Nothing like it, right? So when you meet Jesus, it's like you're loved, you're forgiven, you're accepted, you're believed in, you're wanted, and it wasn't with somebody using you. How do I get more of this, Jesus? How do I live this way? He says this. But you know what Harvey tried to do? Harvey came to God through this while smoking a joint. But when I met Jesus, here's what happens a lot of times. We see other people who seem to know more about Jesus than us. They're all in a group. They call them churches. So we go to this church, whatever church it is, even this one. And we say, I'll just start being like them. I'll dress like them. I'll smile like them. I'll come up with the same words as them. I'll get together all at the same time with them. I'll become part of their little glee club. I'll become a member. And now I'll just do what they tell me. What they say is right. And that doesn't last too long. Because it doesn't satisfy. It may contain Jesus. Jesus may be in what they're saying or what they're doing, but it's like sitting down to eat a meal. What's a good food that I'm thinking of? Okay, let's say we're going to eat a hamburger. But instead of it being a good hamburger, like you buy from Heffron Farms, no, it's the kind of stuff you buy at all these other stores. It's got all this meal and oatmeal and all this fillers. You know, it's like, I'm not trying to pick on McDonald's, but I like to eat food, not cardboard. Well, I want pure Jesus. I don't want just something that contains Jesus. I want pure Jesus. I'm challenging you bigger than maybe you've been, maybe beyond where you're able to be challenged right now. But I'm challenging you. Pick up this Bible. Tell God, I don't know how to live. And I'm tired of living the way that I do. I'm tired of living in the kingdom of hell, but I don't know how to live in the kingdom of heaven. I'm used to being proud, and you talk about being humble. I'm used to living in the kingdom of darkness and hiding, and when I go on a date, I got to do it in the dark because, well, I do. I can't do it out in the light. I can't do it in front of my parents. I remember when I was working in a machine shop that had 200 men, and they had pictures of naked women hanging up on their walls. And I was newly saved, newly in church. And I thought I was there to straighten them out, Don. So I went around that shop. And I pulled those things down. I went upstairs where the penthouse and the Playboys were up in the men's bathroom. And I, when I was done, they weren't even good to use up there. Okay? I'm not telling you what I'm talking about, but you can wipe it from your mind. Anyway, all I know is guys would come to me and say, "What'd you do with my Lucy?" And I would say, "Is that your sister? Is that your mother? Is that your wife?" Because I was a smart-mouthed little guy, even though I knew Jesus. And he would say, "You know who Lucy is. I had her by my machine." And I would say to those boys, those men, 13 and a half in Stevenson, Madison Heights, over by Detroit, bad dudes. And I would say to them, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "We start at 5:30. Have you ever noticed how men bring their wives and mothers and daughters in this place? They come to visit them because we're working from 5:30 p.m. till 4 a.m. So we're gone, you know, and we would work 58 hours a week." And I said, "Have you noticed how all these guys' wives and mothers and daughters come in this place?" And they go, "Yeah." I said, "Would you put that picture of that naked woman up in your mother's living room?" "Well, no." I said, "Then why would you put it here in front of all these women that come in this place every night to visit their husbands and their sons and their daddies? Why would you put it in front of them?" "Well, just don't mess with Lucy again." I said, "If you don't put her out in front of everybody, I won't." Now, I'm not saying what I did was right. I'm trying to make a point. They lived in the kingdom of darkness. We do a lot of things that we will do in the darkness. We want to hide. But it's not God's kingdom. It doesn't make us feel good. It may make you feel good right now, but then afterwards you feel really bad. And then you feel yucky and icky, and you feel like giving up on yourself, and you feel like nobody wants you, and you're unworthy, and you think low of yourself. Is that how you want to be? I'm sorry? How do I live in this kingdom, God? How do I live in this kingdom? I want you to turn over to Psalm 51, verse 6. And then when you find that, if you want to turn to John 14, 6. But Psalm 51, 6. Let me ask you a question. And I want to make sure I get an answer from everybody before we move on. Are you a truth seeker? Okay. I'm glad for all six of you. Are you a truth seeker? Do you want truth? No, seriously, do you want truth? I mean, do you really want truth? I mean, do you want the whole truth? Or do you just want the truth you like? Huh? Want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Are you a truth seeker? God says in Psalm 51:6, He says, "Behold, You desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you're going to make me to know wisdom. You're going to reveal what I don't know. But He wants truth in the inward parts. What are you willing to be honest about? How much truth do you want? Uh-oh, got quiet. How are we seeking truth? How are you seeking truth? Well, I'm here, aren't I, Brother Harv? How do you know what I'm telling you is true? Because we keep saying, go in here. But how many people have followed preachers and what they were saying wasn't true? What they were doing wasn't true? And how is somebody going to help follow you if you're just giving them opinions? Do you hear what I'm saying? When different ones of you call me and you ask me questions, you're having a crisis, things are going bad, what do I do? There's two questions I ask you often when you're ready for it. Now, if you haven't heard me ask them, you're going to hear them now. But a number of you have heard these questions. And I will say to you, so Dudley, what does the Bible say about that? Or Nate, what is the Holy Spirit telling you? John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Oh, Jesus is talking to a woman who is living with her fifth husband. She's out for a record. And Jesus says to her, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The way you're going to know what God wants is, number one, you're going to read it in the Word. You're going to get the Word of God. You're going to have it's written down. It's there for us to know. Number two, it's going to ring true inside of you. People tell you stuff, and then here it doesn't feel right. You ever bought from a used car salesman? You know what I'm talking about? You ever had somebody try to sell you something, and in here, it just don't feel right? It sounds right. They're appealing to your greed or your fear, but in here, something just doesn't seem right. Yep, this car, I'd just take it right to California. I think he meant the street two streets over, okay? Because he sure don't mean going out there because the car won't make it, okay? But he's trying to sell it to you. In here, does it ring true? It says in Psalm 51:6, he said, He desires truth on the inward parts. Do you want truth? Number two, John 14:6, Jesus says, Jesus said, now watch, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you a truth seeker? Are you a Jesus seeker? Jesus is the truth. If you want Him, how are you seeking Him? What are we doing when He exposes the truth to you? Brother Nate and I were talking, and Brother Tom, right before the service, and Brother Nate said, you have this saying that we walk in the truth that we have. He said, well, I've been thinking about that. And he said, we don't really walk in the truth we have. He said, we walk in the truth that we've decided to agree with. But we've gotten a whole lot more truth that we're not walking in. There's a lot of truth that we've been exposed to, but we're not walking in it. Because we're not in agreement with it, because we still want to be like that little kid. My way. My toy. Yes? Do you want truth? How much truth do you want? I'm challenging you today. How much truth do you want? How are you looking for truth? What are you doing with it when you get it? Here's my confession. God, I want to see my sin. God, you've delivered me from a lot of sin. You've changed my life a lot. Many people besides me have given testimony to that. But God, there's something more I'm sensing that you're doing in my life. And I want to see my sin. I want to see what blocks me from getting close to you, God. I want to see what blocks me from getting close to other people. I want to see what's in my life that hurts other people. Do you want that? Do you want to see that? I mean, I'm asking you because if you don't want to see it, don't ask him because he'll show it to you. He'll think you meant it. And then when he shows you, now what are you going to do? Run if you want to. Run if you will. But I came here to stay. So I said, God, please show me my sin. Now, how many of you like to have people around you tell you what's wrong with you? I'm sorry, I didn't see that hand. Okay, maybe you didn't understand the question. How many of you like people around you to tell you your faults? Well, what if God, see the way one of the sayings I have is, God's the only one who can get away with nagging, okay? If God nags you, okay, it's different. But if Tom nags me, I just want to push his face in. I don't want to hear it. Right? We don't want to hear from anybody else. And even when God's dealing with us, don't you confirm it. Because I don't want you to say, oh yeah, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, God's already dealing with me on that, but I don't want to hear it. You're nagging. Now watch. So I say, God, I want to see my sin. And he says, well, you know what? He says, you're the last one to see it, her. He says, everybody around you can see it. I go, God, but I don't know what it is. And so somebody says, you know, you've got pride. And I go, no, I don't. You're defensive. No, I'm not. You're argumentative. I am not. You're self-righteous. I am not. That was the Holy Spirit. So God has people say to me, start bringing it to my attention. Do you know why God has people say it to me? Because when God's telling me, I'm arguing. Is there stuff that somebody says to you and you already know it inside, but when somebody else says it, it irritates you, you get mad at the person? Why? God's already told you, you already know it. The reason you're mad at them, you know why? It's because you're still, okay, paying attention? It's on the test. It's because you're arguing with God. You're fighting with God. And because God loves you and wants to Jesus you, wants to deliver you, because you ask him to come deliver you, but you just don't like the process. I want it to be a quick fix. I'll come up here. You pray for me. I'll fall down. You cover me up. I get up and it's all good. I walk away. I'm all delivered. Now I'm all brand new and I don't have that anymore. Let's go to church. They lay hands on me. I fall down. I'm good. I'm delivered. All the spirits are gone. Well, God can do that and he can get some spirits out of you. But God is looking to develop character in you. I dare you right now. God, I choose to have character developed in me. I choose to have character developed in me. I'm drawing a line, Lord. Whatever it takes Whatever it takes, develop Christ-like character. I want to look just like Jesus. I want to think like Jesus. I want to act like Jesus. When I get around people, I want Jesus to get loose. I'm tired of hurting them with my opinions, my selfishness. I'm tired of living in this kingdom. I want to live in your kingdom, God. And I don't know how to do it. So I'm inviting you to come do it in me. So God starts dealing in us. We're arguing. We're fighting. Harvey's done that most of his Christian life. I'm sorry. Every time when God brings it to my attention, when I finally quit arguing, then I ask God to forgive me that I argued. Thank you, sir. But our nature is to argue. Our nature is to defend. But you know what our nature is? It's a fallen nature because we grew up in the kingdom of hell. We grew up. Everybody else lives there. This is how we were trained. That's why we tell our kids, say I'm sorry. Here, I'm going to twist your arm until you do it. I can see Jesus in that. Yeah, right, really. That was kind. That was loving. That hurt. So God says, Harvey, I'm dealing with you. I'm bringing it to your attention. You have pride and self-righteousness, and you're putting all confidence in yourself, Harv. And I go, but God, I don't want that. And he says, invite me to change it in you. I said, God, come change that in me, whatever it takes. So then he has people say to me, you know, seems like you're being proud. I am not. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Okay? And is that self-righteousness? No, I don't want to talk to you either. Okay? You just seem to put confidence in yourself. You just reek of trusting in yourself, Harv. Trusting in your own wisdom. Trusting in your own ability as a good worker, as a smart boss, as a good husband, as a good preacher. You're trusting in yourself, Harv. Who do you think you are? I don't want to hear this. That's how we treat others. There's a saying, our critics, people that are criticizing us, are the guardians of our soul. God puts people in our lives to help develop, to bring us to truth. See, when he's just speaking it to us, don't want to hear it, turn the TV louder, keep the radio going, right? I don't want to think about that. Okay, I'm busy, I don't want to think about that. That's what we do. There's stuff in our life, we want it to change, but we don't want to go through the process of changing. So God brings to Harvey, and he goes like this. Let me borrow this a minute. He goes, Harvey, you're walking around blind. You can't see. Everybody else can see your sin. But Harvey, you're blind. So one day, God just has somebody that for a few weeks, they've been loving me. And they said, God, I want that person to get delivered so much that I'm willing to lay my life down and allow you to come pray, give me your heart, your mind, to pray for Harvey to get delivered. And so they pray for me, and they pray for me, and then God pushes them and says, go tell him these words. I don't want to, God. Yeah. It's time now. Go tell him. And so the person comes to me and says, do you know that you're blind? I go, am I? Yeah, I got something to say, and I don't want to say it, but I feel like God wants me to say it. Okay, go ahead and say it. What is it? Well, you're blind. I am. What am I blind to? You've got pride, and you're self-righteous, and you put confidence in self. And other people, when they had said it, I couldn't hear it. But because that person took time to get on their knees for me every day, multiple times a day, and pray, God, please open his eyes. God, please have mercy. God, please don't let him get what he deserves. He doesn't want to do this, but Lord, he's blind. He doesn't even know that he's letting the kingdom of hell live in him in this area. And that person prayed for me until God said, now it's time, and when you speak, the blinder's going to come off. And so a few weeks ago, God took the blinder off and showed me that I've got pride, that I'm self-righteous. See, to be self-righteous, you just compare yourself to other people. Well, I know the Bible more than they do, God. I've walked with you longer than they have. You've brought more people to Jesus through me than you have them. I'm self-righteous. We start comparing ourselves. And then God says, and you have, through this person, God says, you have confidence in yourself. You think too high of yourself. You trust in yourself. Now, when that person started talking to me, we were standing about right over here. And there was a few people standing around. And I gave them permission. You see, I said, I'm a truth seeker. I want to hear the truth. And they said, well, God wants me to speak a truth to you that I don't want to speak. But God says it's time for you to hear. And I said, then go ahead and speak. Now, I've been arguing with God. I've been fighting with God. I'm like, in my self-righteousness, I can't have all this sin because I'm better than others. Just telling you the truth. And then the person goes to speak, and I'm standing right over there. Now, I want you to get this vision. Immediately, I had a vision. I was in an operating room. I was laid out on a table. There was about 8 people around the table, men and women, you know, like nurses and doctors and those kind of people, all suited up. Immediately, I had this vision while this person was talking. Because as soon as they started talking, it felt like somebody grabbed the sheet off of me and ripped it off, and I was naked as a jaybird in front of everybody. But I was like, must have been doped up or something because I couldn't move. But I was so aware of everybody being there, and I was naked in front of everybody. Because when this person started talking, God pulled the blinder off and helped me to see my sin as he sees it. He revealed to me that I have sin in my life. So I'm exposed. I mean, and it was ripped off. It was whoosh, in front of everybody. And then they took a knife and they cut me wide open, and I'm bleeding. And I'm standing there with all of this happening, more real than anything's ever happened to me in my life. And my thoughts were, I'm embarrassed. I don't like this. This is uncomfortable. I want to run. Have you ever felt that way? We talk about sin. We talk about going to hell. We talk about your life. We talk about life's decisions. You ever felt uncomfortable? Ever felt like, how did he know? Is he following me around? Does he have a camera hidden in my house? I can remember when I first got in church. I got saved in July, met Sue in January, got in church in April, and here this preacher gets up front And every time he'd get up front to preach, I'd be sitting next to Sue and I'd elbow her. Who's telling him about me? Why is he talking about me up in front of everybody? Why is he telling them all about my life? Why is he talking about my drinking? And why is he talking about me listening to rock and roll? And why is he talking about my cussing? And she said, he's not talking about you. I said, yeah, he's talking about me up in front of everybody. I mean, I'm sitting in church like right here, elbowing her because I'm mad because he's up there talking about me in front of everybody. And she said, listen to what he's saying. And I'm listening, and he wasn't saying what I thought he was saying, but somebody was saying it. And that somebody is God, the Holy Spirit. And God, the Holy Spirit, was dealing with me inside. Is God, the Holy Spirit, dealing with you? Has he been dealing with you? Has he dealt with you about some things? Oh, but you're all comfortable, right? It's just wonderful. You don't argue at all. You just give him his way. You don't justify. You don't do the goat thing, but. You don't but. You just agree. That's right. I'm wrong. I need to repent. I'll go up to the altar and get right with God in front of everybody, because I'm not embarrassed, because I'm a truth seeker. That's how all of you are, right? Why do you think he's having me tell you this? God's dealing with me about sin. Do you know what sin is? It's against God. It is against the one that you say you want. It's what... Those nails didn't hold Jesus on the cross. He's God, for crying out loud. He could have just said, hey, everybody, I'll pull. This is done. Look how you're treating me. I'm going to kick you back to your side of the state, you know, kingdom of hell. Y'all want to act like this? Just go live over there. Just go die. He could have done that. You know what held Jesus to the cross? His love. Our sin didn't hold him to the cross. His love for us, his caring about us, his caring because he doesn't want us living over in this kingdom. He doesn't want us to be hurt. He doesn't want us to be used and rejected and abused and lied to and cheated and all the things that we have, he loves. So he says, okay, I'm going to just be on this cross for you. Now, Father, all that goes on in that kingdom with every single person operating in that kingdom, come and put all that sin on me. Charge it to my account. Put it on my credit card. I am going to owe for that. I want that put on my account. Because I don't want it to be on her account. I don't want it to be on his account. I don't want it to be on your account. So, Father, give me all their sin. And our sin killed him. You see, I got sin inside of me. A lot of sin has gotten out of me. God's been doing a work on me for 37 years. But God got down to something recently where he showed me, Harvey, it's like this great big thick root that I can't even get my hand all the way around. Down inside of you. He said, your whole life you've operated out of this sin of pride, self-righteousness, and confidence in self. And when this person was talking to me, and I'm standing over here, and I'm naked, and I'm exposed, and there's people around, I wanted to run. I mean, this just happened a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, whatever. Right here. and I'm feeling naked, and there's people around me, and they're all looking and they're listening, and this person is doing it in the Spirit of God, they're just, I don't want to do this. I don't want to say this. I love you. I said, oh, go ahead. I'm like, in my comment, oh, it's okay. Go ahead. Rip. I wanted to run. All of a sudden, I could see my sin. And I, see, God tried to help me before. He tried telling me, but nah. Then he had one person say it to me, and nah, I don't want to hear that. I don't like that. So then he had two people say it to me. I don't like you either. And I'm not listening to this, you know. And then he had a whole group of people, the leaders here of this church, 18 of them, all in agreement saying, yes, it's in you. And what did I say sitting over there? I don't see it. If it's there, I don't see it. Just pray for me because I don't see it. I want to see it if it's true. But I meant it. So when, a couple of weeks ago, God exposed me, I wanted to run on the one hand. That's what my feelings wanted to do. You know how that feels, I know. But I said inside, oh no, I don't care how uncomfortable it is, I want it to be exposed because I can't get delivered until it's exposed. And though everybody else can see it, if I don't see it, I can't repent of it. Okay, look, you're here, you're called to be a soldier. This isn't about being a little church member. We tiptoe in. We all say we love one another and we do whatever, and then we go live like hell all the rest of the week. Do you understand? This isn't about playing a game, wearing a little name tag. Hey, I go to Burning Bush and that makes me okay with God. Here's my ticket. I get to go to heaven because I went to Burning Bush for a couple years. This isn't a game. This is like boot camp. Continual. You don't seem to get out of it, right? This is like boot camp. This is for you to become a soldier. This is for you to become strong in God. This is for you to learn to stand up like a man or a woman, okay? And you're going to stand up. You're going to be strong in God, not strong in yourself. But you're going to get strong in God so that you're going to be able to go out here in this world, in this kingdom of hell that this world operates in, and you're going to be a little light. And you're going to take your light out here, and other little moths are going to come to your light. Yes? All right. But you got to go through boot camp. Do you understand? You got to become a soldier. It's not playing. It's not... You know, the day I got saved, I'm reading the Bible the night before, and the day I got saved, I went door to door for 5 hours asking somebody to tell me how to get to Jesus. You know what they said? Come over and visit our church. I've already been to church. I need Jesus. Come over here and get baptized. I ain't even saved yet. I can't get baptized. All I can get is wet. That ain't it. Come over here. Meet my preacher. I've already met your preacher and about 100 others. That ain't it. Get me to Jesus. And for 5 hours, running from door to door, knock, knock, knock. And he says his little ditty, thank you. Knock, knock, knock. Run to the next door. Knock, knock, knock. Okay, she said her thing. That ain't it. Okay, no, I don't need to see a deacon. No, I don't need to see a preacher. No, I don't need to go to your little club. No, I don't need to keep your list of rules. I need Jesus! Well, how are you going to get people to Jesus if you don't get to Jesus? Now, do you want to be a soldier? Do you want to be strong in this world? Do you want to be a light that the moths can come to and quit being moths and learn to be butterflies? Huh? Do you want to help other people? Do you? Do you want to live Jesus? Folks, let's quit playing this game. God, I want to see my sin. I dare you to say that. God, I want to see my sin. I don't want sin living in me. I don't want sin living in me. I don't want my way, I want your way. I don't want hell, I want heaven. I don't want darkness, I want light. I don't want death, I want life. Now listen to what I'm going to say, soldier. How long are you going to stay in boot camp? Start reading your Bible today. Read at least one chapter a day. Start in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Pick one of them. I don't care. Come to me. If you come to me after service or come to Pastor Glenn, we'll give you a notebook, look something like this. I'll give you one. If you want to pay for it, you can pay for it. 50 cents, a dollar, whatever. I bought a bunch of them to give away. Because I want to do everything I can to get you to Jesus. You take that notebook and when you start reading, when you have questions or thoughts, write them down. Something sticks out to you, write it down. Folks, we got to get trained to walk with Jesus, to hang out with Jesus, so that when this another brother like this comes, who's been hurt and had things happen in his life, and he's needy, when he comes into your life, that person's going to be able to say what this guy said today. When I walked through these doors, I found God. My life's never been the same just since I walked in these doors. Because he came in contact with God. God wants to live his life fully through you. Fully. More than you can imagine. More than you can even conceive of right now. He wants to be your health. He wants to be your life. He wants to do your finances. He wants to be your relationships. Everything. Everything. I've got sin in my life that God has exposed. He showed me this root. It's the first time he ever showed me a root, and it had a bunch of leaves on it, and it was all bushy, and then it was leaves. I don't know how to explain the difference. I'm just telling you. And I said, Jesus, because if you've been around here and heard my 19-step sermon that I preached, talk about Jesus reached down, grab a hold of that root and the seed of it, and pull it out. And so Jesus gave me a vision that night. I'm sitting here all naked, and I went home and I told my wife, oh my word. I could see my sin. And she very kindly did not say, you know, you're the last one to see it, Harv. The rest have been afflicted by it for years. But she didn't say that. She was real kind. She just feels sorry for me. She's petting me, touching me. And I said, Jesus. And somebody had said, I think it was Brother Dudley back there said, or Nate, one of them, whoever was here, they said, now you're going to get to use that 19 steps or something like that. And I thought, okay. So that came to my mind, and I thought, okay, I'm going to do that. Jesus. And I go through the 19 steps. I get down to the root part. And I said, Jesus, I'm asking you to. And immediately I could see the vision. And he reached in there, and he got his hands around the root. Now, it was kind of like this. He couldn't get his hands all the way around. It was this big, thick root. Well, I could see some thick roots coming off of it. And Jesus now, put his hand around the root. And I said, Jesus, please pull the root out and the seed of where it came from. And Jesus went like this. He grabbed the root, and he went like this. I went, what? I go, pull the root. He goes, I go, Jesus, you're Jesus. You can pull that out. And he goes, Harvey, I can't pull it out. He said, your soil, your heart is too hard. It needs to be soaked in the water of the Word and the oil of the Holy Spirit. You need to get that soaked. Because if you've ever tried to pull roots out, you could just break the thing off at the top, but you're not getting them out from down underneath. Know what I'm talking about? I want it all out. See, some of you are praying for me to get delivered. I'm in process. You're in process. But I'm in process. I might be the leader here, but I'm not the example of Christ. I am the example of the rotten sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. Do you understand? I'm not any better than you are just because I'm the leader here. Do you understand? It's not like you need to be like me. You need to follow my example. I am super Christian. I am the pastor. Okay? It's not anything like that. It's like, hi, I'm the worm. I don't know why God had me up here. I'm the worm that he said, hey, would you lead this other group of people? And I'm going, who's going to want to follow a worm? He's like, well, as long as you realize you're a worm, he says, and they realize you're a worm, he says, you know what? He says, they can respect you as pastor. He says, but if they realize that you're not thinking you're any better than they are, it's going to help them to grow because they're going to realize you're just like they are. And all the hard stuff you go through, they have to go through already. And it's not like I'm standing up here, the self-righteous one, telling you what's wrong with you and why don't all of you change and be like me. I'm not doing that. I'm telling you, I got sin. And I don't want it. And I'm willing to go through the process. And I don't even have time today to tell you what all the process is. But I'm just starting by saying this. I've got this. I go through the same thing you're going through, and I want it out of me. And I've said to Jesus, Jesus, I don't know anything. When I met him, I was totally amazed that I met him. I didn't know he was real. I'd gone to church a lot in my life. I'd done everything a lot of churches had told me how to do. I could pass their little test. They gave me tests. I passed them. Straight A. And I still would have gone to hell with a straight A from a church test. But when I met him by reading this. And then after I met him, I just fell in love with this. And I just started reading this every day. Reading it all the time. As a matter of fact, after I met Jesus, and I went back, here's something else. I went back to hanging around the same people. See, when I got saved, I flushed my drugs, my alcohol, my cigarettes. But I went back to hanging around the same people. You know what I did? I started smoking dope again and drinking again and smoking cigarettes. But when I would sit around, they were passing a joint around, I'd read the Bible out loud. Now, how many of you think that people who smoke dope want to hear the Bible read out loud? They used to say, why are you reading that? I said, because I like it. And they said, well, why don't you do it some other time? I said, I want to do it right now. Well, why don't you go away? Because we're in this kingdom. And you're making us so uncomfortable talking about that. Now, you know what? You keep reading that book, and those sins that are inside of you, they're going to get uncomfortable. And they're going to want to get out. They're not going to want the people that are around you. You don't have to run from them. Just start talking about Jesus and reading the Bible. They're going to find some other friend who lives in that kingdom because that's where they want to live. Do you understand? I want Jesus. Do you? I want Jesus. Jesus, you are my life choice. I don't want sin. I don't want any sin living in me. I don't want any sin living in me. I only want Jesus living in me. So I want to see my sin, God. I want you to remove my sin. I'm inviting you to do it. I know you're going to be kind about it. But when I start arguing or fighting, which I don't want to do, but I probably will do, then I'm asking you to forgive me ahead of time. And I'm asking you, don't give up on me. And even if I try to run from you, God, follow me and get me. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? Do you know how precious you are that you would pray that with me? Do you know how precious? I can't tell you. If I went to so many churches, I think I wouldn't get very much participation. Okay, I've sang this song before, but we're going to learn it today, okay? Because you need it. You ready? I only want Jesus living in me. Only want Jesus living in me. Want no bad devil's going to kick him out. Want no bad devil's going to kick him out. I only want Jesus living in me all the time. All right. All right, I need somebody to come and lead that. You want to come lead that? Come here. Come here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on up here. Juliana, you come up here and help her.
Please.
Please. Please. That's right.
Please.
That's right.
Please.
Tom, you come help her. Come on. Come on. Got the trio. The magic trio. All right? Maybe we'll make it a quartet. Let's do it like that. All right? All right, now here we go. We're going to sing it now. Right? And you got to kick. The first time we're going to kick like that. Next time we're going to kick like that. See? Okay? Oh, yeah, yeah. Here we go. Okay, I'll back it up so we can get choreography good here. Got to make it so it works good. Okay? All right? You got to have fun in church, right? Remember? Here we go. Ready? I only want Jesus living in me. Only want Jesus living in me. Want no bad devil's gonna kick him out. Want no bad devil's gonna kick him out. Only want Jesus living in me all the time. Amen? Give him a hand. God bless you. Can I challenge you something that would help you or encourage you to do something? Find one or two people in this room that get their name and their phone number or their email and talk to them every day and encourage each other in Jesus. Like, just call them and just say, you know, you could call them and say, hey, would you pray for me? I'm having a hard time right now. Would you just pray for me? And I don't mean pray for me sometime later when it's all convenient. I mean pray for me right now because I need help right now, right? Right? Pray for me right now, okay? We're going to learn how to pray. And don't worry about if you don't know how to pray. You just talk to God. You already know how to talk. Everyone, if you've got a mouth, I see it. Okay? I hear it. Just talk to God. Just tell Him. You don't got to say all the right words. Just tell Him what's in your heart. Tell Him what you want. Tell Him, hey, I read my Bible today. Here's what I got out of it. I was reading over in Mark chapter 1. You know what it said in verse 15? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means I'm going to turn from my way or the devil's way, the way he's had me trapped, and I'm going God's way. Just, man, I just read that day and it encouraged me. And that'll encourage the other person. You get what I'm saying? How can I, and then ask him, how can I pray for you? How you doing? How can I help you? I'm just trying to give you ideas that have helped me to get to where I could see my sin. Does anybody have anything to say? Okay, we're going to have some cake and some goodies or something. I don't know exactly what. We're going to celebrate Abby. I know. Abby's graduation. Yes, dear? Pray for the food? Yep. Lord, we are just so thankful for food. He got it. He got it. He said he's going to read his Bible before he eats. Okay. So Jesus, we just ask you to bless this food to our bodies, and we just want to bless Abby is what we want to do. We want to thank you and let her know how pleased we are with her, Lord, that she's graduated, and Lord, what you have in store for her. And we just want to celebrate with her. We ask that, Lord, each person that would stay here and would be able to congratulate her and encourage her. And then, Lord, I just thank you for this church family. I thank you for all these friends. I thank you, Lord, for helping us to walk together, giving us other people like-minded, like-hungered, like-hearted, like-spirited, that we could do this trip together through this life. And Lord, teach us how to live in your kingdom and to get the other kingdom out of us, because we don't want any part of it anymore. We just say, thank you, Jesus. Amen? All right. Now, get up and hug three people, and then we're going to eat some cake and stuff around here somewhere.